Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Raia Drogasil conference call to discuss its third quarter of 2015 results. The audio for this conference is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet in the website www.raiadrogasil.com.br/ir. In that address, you can also find the slideshow presentation available for download. We inform that all participants will only be able to listen to the conference during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are over, there will be a Q&A period. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star zero for an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Raia Drogasil management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Raia Drogasil and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Today with us are Mr. Marcílio Pousada, CEO, Mr. Eugênio de Zagottis, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Vice President, and Gabriel Rosenberg, IR and Corporate Planning Director. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Marcílio Pousada. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the presentation for the results of the third quarter of 2015, Raia Drogasil. As always, Eugênio will present the slides with the results, and before the Q&A, I would like to stress some points. Eugênio, please.
Hello, everybody. First of all, thank you for attending our conference call. This is another very strong quarter by the company, one we feel very, very good about. This is the first quarter that we start comparing against a strong comp base. As you remember, the huge margin gains we have seen in the last 12 months really started on the second semester last year. It's a very good quarter, but it's a quarter comparing versus a tough comp base. We're talking about a 20 basis points EBITDA margin increase. We ended the quarter with nearly 1,200 stores, so it's 1,177 stores. We opened 37 stores in the quarter and closed two stores. We achieved 2.4 billion in gross revenues, a revenue increase of 20% with 12% for same-store sales growth. Our gross margin reached 28.9%, 100 basis points increase versus the previous year, and EBITDA of 181 million, a 7.6% EBITDA margin, and a 20 basis points margin increase. Adjusted net income total 95 million, a 4% margin, while we registered again a positive free cash flow of 68 million in the quarter and 66.7 million of total cash generation. We're very happy with the fact that the Raia Drogasil stock has entered the Ibovespa and the IBrX 50, probably the two most important indices in the Brazilian stock exchange. This is already bringing us increased liquidity to our stock. We have increased this quarter the store opening guidance for 2015, which is going from 130 to 145 stores. I think this is really the main news of the quarter. On the next page, I'd like to share a couple things about our expansion. As we mentioned, we opened 37 stores in the quarter. Year to date, we have already opened 94 stores against only 80 stores we had opened the same period in the previous year. We are already growing at a faster pace than before. If you look last 12 months, we have done 145 new stores. So we are now increasing the guidance of the year from 130 to 145. It basically means that we will open in the fourth quarter of this year the same number of stores we opened in the fourth quarter of last year. So we are just reflecting the fact that we are already at a different pace in terms of store opening. And we're really paving the way for an even stronger growth pace starting 2016. We are yet to release the guidance for next year. We should do this in the Hydro Brasil Day in the beginning of December. But obviously, we're setting a new bar now, and we can only go north of that bar. We have a huge pipeline of contracts to support our expansion coming forward. It's very important to mention that the quality of the stores we have opened and of the contracts we have signed is superb. So we are not sacrificing quality at all by increasing our growth. We really believe we can sustain the same quality, but at a faster pace. And another thing that I would like to touch is we see a lot of people talking in the market about new stores, this chain is doing this much, that other chain is doing that much. I mean, stores is not a single currency. A new store for us means a corner store, absolutely top quality location, a store that we expect to sell 700 to 800,000 reais, a store that, that currently generates 100,000 reais in monthly EBITDA. So I think we are opening not only more stores than the rest, but we're opening better stores than the rest, and this is really what matters. We have the youngest store portfolio in probably five quarters. We have 66.8% of mature stores, 33.2% of stores still in the maturation process. On the next page, here we have our most updated geographic footprint. Of the 1,177 stores, 568 are Raya stores, 609 are Drogasil stores, including about 20 Farmazil stores in this figure. We saw a very strong market share gain in the quarter. For the second quarter in a row, we gained 80 basis we gained 0.8 percentage point in market share, so we came from 9.2 to 10% on a national basis. We increased market share in every single market. So in Sao Paulo, it went from 20.6 to 22.3. So this was the most significant increase if you consider already how big already the share is. In the Southeast, we came from 6.6 to 6.8. In the Midwest, 12.4 to 12.5. In the South, another great gain, 4.8 to 5.5, really driven by the maturation of the stores in these markets and also by the maturation of the brand in these markets. And finally, in the Northeast, from 1 to 2.4. I think this market share gain reflects the fact that we are executing in a much better way than we were executing before. I think it's undeniable how the merger has made us stronger, not only bigger, but stronger and better. So by deploying at Raya, good things Drogasil did, and by deploying Drogasil, good things at Raya did, and platforms and profits and all of that, without reinventing the wheel, we are operating significantly better. So this is really showing up in our market share gain. Another thing here is that we have a lot of distressed competitors, because even though we are in a sector that is very defensive and resilient, many companies have high debt and have constituted big debts in order to fund their organic growth over the last few years. So it's not difficult to see companies paying interest rates north of 20%, especially smaller and middle-sized companies, sometimes as high as 23, 24, 25%. So a company in a situation like this, they have to cut on inventories, they have to cut on people, they have to increase prices, and we do the opposite. We are getting stronger by the day. Next page, our total revenue growth was 20% in the quarter, with 12% of same-store sales growth and 8.1% for mature stores. This shows how resilient the sector is. We are seeing more of the same in the fourth quarter. October is proving to be a very strong month. So we are sustaining this kind of pace. And another highlight of the quarter is that HPC was the top performing category. Obviously, there are weather factors involved in that. But even despite favorable weather for the category, there are a couple of categories that may be suffering, mostly basic categories, but we're gaining a lot of revenues in categories that are very important to us, like skincare, for example. And it's counterintuitive because skincare in theory should be more subject to the macro scenario than oral care. But in the end, we have such an edge in executing in skincare. And the Brazilian consumer is so beauty-driven that this category is just flying. On the next page, talking about our gross margin, we ended the quarter 28.9% of gross margin, 100 basis points improvement over last year. Another highlight is a huge improvement in cash cycle. We reduced cash cycle by 7 days in the quarter. So what's happening here is that as we're growing and our suppliers need to sell part of what the others are selling, we are able to do great deals with our suppliers in which you get better discounts, in which we may put up some extra inventories, but you have huge accounts payables improvement to do that. So as a result of that, we have gained 7 days in cash cycle, mostly concentrated on an accounts payable expansion. On page 8, talking about expenses, and expenses have really been the challenge of the quarter. After 2 years of stable expenses, with an inflation as high as 9%, we're finally starting to see sales expense pressure again. So in total, our SG&A increased by 0.8 percentage points. The administrative expenses increased by 0.2 percentage points. This is kind of an artificial effect because the comp base of the 3Q14 was unusually weak. So what happened here is that we had over-provisioned variable compensation in the first semester of 2014, and we compensated that in the second semester of 14. So this is an effect that we see in the quarter, and we'll see in the next quarter. The variable compensation allowance in 2014 was 20 bps lower in the second semester because it had been 20 bps higher in the first semester. So economically speaking, we are stable on the G&A, but then we have seen 60 bps improvement pressure on the sales expenses. If we compare year on year, labor represents 30 bps of pressure. Let's remember that we just increased salaries from June to July by 9%, and the sales from June to July doesn't grow 9%. Obviously, we have another three quarters at this level of salaries, and the sales will grow further during this time. So I think this is really the worst moment for the labor expense. I think it should be slightly better as we move ahead and as we grow our revenues. Electricity also pressured our numbers by 20 basis points, and pre-operation expenses, as we started accelerating, pressured by 10 basis points. If we compare versus the previous quarter, I would say energy is not a factor because it was already high at the previous quarter, but still labor is increasing our expenses by 30 basis points. Logistics related to the Northeast expansion is pressuring by 10 basis points. Pre-operational is pressuring by 10 basis points. And then the other small pressures totaling 10 basis points. Next page, we achieved an EBITDA of 181 million in the quarter, a 7.6% margin, and a 20 bps improvement versus the previous year. It's important to mention that if you look last 12 months, we are at an EBITDA margin of 8%. What happened is that when inflation is higher, there is a bigger polarization between the second quarter, that is when we get the good news from inflation, versus the other quarters when we get the bad news from the inflation. So 8% is made of three quarters between 7.4 and 7.6, and one quarter at 9.5. If inflation goes down, probably the second quarter won't be as strong, but likewise, the expense pressure in the remaining quarters won't be as big, and things end up compensating for one another. And finally, if you consider just the stores we had in operation on December 31st last year, and we attribute to those stores the full corporate G&A and the full logistics expenses, these stores would have an EBITDA margin of 8.3% in the quarter. So we have a 70 basis points pressure from the stores recently opened. This is only part of the maturation potential, because we have stores that are still maturing, but they are in the second or third year of maturation. Here, we're just counting the effect of the stores opening this calendar year. Next page, as I mentioned, the cash generation was one of the highlights of the quarter. We generated $68 million in free cash flow with a positive working capital contribution, and we had a total cash flow positive by 67 million reais. Considering the full 9 months of the year, it's a 74 million positive free cash flow and a 14 million positive total cash flow. So resource from operation total 440 million versus 320 something last year. Operating cash flow after working capital 318 versus 161. And we also investing more because we accelerated the growth. So there's a bigger investment for the stores of the fourth quarter, for the stores of the third quarter, and for the stores of the first quarter next year. 244 million versus 187, and still a positive free cash flow. And it's also important to mention that any quarter, when compared to the fourth quarter, is at a disadvantage, because the fourth quarter is cyclically the best quarter in terms of cash flows. So comparing the third quarter versus the fourth quarter last year and still showing a positive number, it's a really, really strong showing here. Well, finally, our stock has been performing really well. We had an appreciation in the year of 55%. For those investors who have been with us since the Drogasil IPO, and believers, we have some people who have been around for all the time, they have enjoyed a compounded annual growth rate of 27%. Sorry, an average annual return of 27%. This includes both the share appreciation and the interest on capital paid during the time. For those investors who entered through the high IPO, they have seen an average annual return of 32%. So these are even be higher than private equity kind of returns for a listed company. We are very happy that we entered the two main indices in Brazil, the Ibovespa and the IBRX 50, and our liquidity has been improving as a result of that. We have seen an average trading volume of 60 million reais in the quarter. So I'll now pass to Marcelo for his consideration, and then we'll go to Q&A. Thank you.
Okay. And before I go to the slides, we are very proud about these results. We know how difficult it is to manage this business in this macro environment in Brazil. Okay. But we are also very worried about expenses, because inflation is very difficult to manage to contain the expenses in Brazil because of inflation rates. I put here in this slide two examples how we work with expenses, okay? Let's go to labor costs first. Our focus is always the customer service. You have to deliver for the customer the best services possible. Remember that you are reaching here the AB customers only. And you have a long-term strategy. When you look for the labor, it's very easy to find people and to reduce the cost, but we never think like this. We think like how to find the productivity to make our team in the stores better, serve better customers, and with more productivity. Then we start to study all the process in the stores and start to make a plan for all this process and you worked these 2 years in this process and helped us a lot to start to or reduce the people in the store or start to achieve more productivity in the store with more sales. What is stood? For example, the data lines, we stood the workflow between the stores and the home, the office, we stood the maintenance, the stores, we stood the turnover. We had all these projects ready to achieve better productivity in stores. Maybe you can see this in your results in the end of 2016, in the beginning of 2017. If you look at the energy, also energies are forced expenses in our P&L in the stores, okay? We have labor, have rent, we have the credit, and after that is energy. Energy increased a lot in this year, in the next year, the previous year also. Our focus here is not only to reduce the cost of energy. Our focus here is how to build a store more efficient, how to build a business more efficient for the future. We know the energy costs will be the same here, right now, in the future. Then we studied how to hold in the light light of the stores. We revising all the air conditioning specifications. We creating a standard here how to we can build energy efficient store prototype. We really believe that this will help us in our costs only 2017, 2018, because we have to remodelate the stores and the opening of the stores with more efficient energy. In the next slide, we will talk about our strategy to new stores, okay? Always people ask me, Martin, if the heart for the new store is so good, why you don't open more stores than 130? Why we open 300, 400 stores? Then we set the challenges here, okay? What's the challenge to open more stores? The number one challenge is always people, how to hire people, how to hire the right people in the stores. We studied the Walgreens case, and when Walgreens opened up 400 stores, the next year, the following year after 400 stores, it's a mess in Walgreens. We don't want this with us here. We just opened a store if I had my team wet to run the store for us in the same pace, in the same quality that you have the store right now. The second point is how we can accelerate the process, how we can find more locations. Not looking for locations, looking for corners. We know how important is the point of the sales, the location of the stores, okay? We are looking for the best corners in the country. It's very difficult also in Brazil, the license to open, requirements. And it's very difficult to flow the openings during the year. If you're looking for 2013, 2014, we always open too many stores in the end of the year. This is not good for our business, not good for the flow to serve the customer also. We work in all these challenges, and we are much better right now. We have the team right now. The team is ready for the open store. We are training the team. You have all the career staff ready for this. We expanded the real estate team also. We are very proud about our team. You have in this team almost 150 years of age. The people know very well the pharmacy business, work with us for 30, 20 years. They know very well all the stores. We increase the contract buffer. We have much more contracts with us right now. And we set up better the process. We implement a PMO process to check better the flow to open the store, the construction, the license requirement, the training, the team, when you have to send the merchandise for the stores. Then right now we are ready to open more stores. Then we increase the bars. Our bar right now is 145 stores per year. Is the number for this year, 2015. This will be the minimum number for the next year also. We really believe you can open more stores than this in the future, but we don't know right now. We are challenging the team to try to achieve more stores in the future. Okay? This is what we have right now. We're ready for the questions and answers for you. Thank you very much, sir.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Mr. Joseph Giordano from J.P. Morgan would like to make a question.
Hi, good morning, Eugenio and Marcilio. Thanks for taking my question. I have a question on the expense side. We've been seeing some pressures from on the selling expense side, and I understand that this is part from the salary inflation, right? I'd like to understand how you are going to mitigate those impacts going forward. Should we continue to expect some gradual margin expansion despite the higher and higher comps? Also, how should we reconcile that with the faster accelerated store opening going forward? Basically, we may see some additional pressure from the new stores here. Thank you.
Okay, Joseph. Thanks for the question. I mean, inflation is really the main challenge we have. I mean, the top line is growing significantly. We have sustained gross margin expansion, but at times like this, with an inflation of 9%, it's very difficult to sustain, to keep the stores flat in terms of expenses. I think we are in the worst possible timing for sales expenses because, I mean, salaries increased 9% from June to July. The sales have not increased 9% from June to July. Maybe they can increase from now to the coming quarters. So labor is higher now, but it will remain flat for another 9 months. So in the next quarters, we'll see the same, let's say, absolute expenses and the same in the existing stores, but with higher sales to better dilute that. But still, I think sales expenses will be pressured. We just expect to reduce the level of pressure versus what we have seen in this quarter. The acceleration of the expansion causes pressures on the pre-operation expenses. So this is part of the story as well. But I mean, on the positive side, we're starting to see labor expenses not pressuring anymore. Energy, year on year, the pressure is still there, but quarter on quarter is no longer pressuring. So the energy it's at a high level, but it's not for growing further as a percentage of revenues. And if you maintain a good sales momentum, I think we will improve the level of sales expenses dilution we have shown in the quarter. And then we have the gross margins that should keep growing to help us, and we'll have G&A dilution that should keep taking place to help. All in all, I think this quarter is very illustrative of how our life should be looking like in the near future. I mean, showing good numbers, but comping versus a very high comp base, and as a result, posting modest margin gain, 10 bips, 20 bips, maybe 30 bips. So that's our expectation.
Thank you, Eugenio. Just have one additional question concerning the expansion plans. I just want to understand how is it looking like for your competitors? So, like, if they're also accelerating expansion, if you're seeing like kind of stepped up competition in the Northeast region, as like I believe the second largest player is also expanding to the region. So, I really wanted to understand like how is the competition behaving in terms of expansion and also in terms of growth. Thank you.
I think it's better now than it was before, and because of crisis. So DPSP is growing normally. They should be growing, I don't know, 140, 150 this year, but they have been growing all along. So that's absolutely no news. We entered the Northeast at the same time. We are very happy about the Northeast, and they're probably also happy about the Northeast because we both have a much better operations quality than everybody who has been every chain who are native in the region. So DPSP is not a factor because they have been a factor all along. So there's nothing new about them growing. And I mean, we're growing. For example, last year they opened more stores than we did. We grew revenues way more. So when we compare number of stores, we're not comparing revenues that will be derived from those stores, neither the profitability that will be derived from those stores. So I think the quality that we have is second to none, and I think the quantity that we have will probably also second to none. We have other players who are growing, who are not growing as much as in the past, for example, or that wanted to grow more, but they can't grow because of the capital structure. So I think I would say the environment is slightly better than before.
But even slightly better, we are looking only for quality, okay? Just looking for corners, looking for nice stores. This is the point. This is the big difference between us and the competition. So looking for open stores, the same pace that you have here in São Paulo for the rest of the country.
Yeah, we believe opening stores cannot be wishful thinking.
Yeah.
It's not, okay, open 200 stores and you just go after that. It doesn't work like that. I mean, first, you have to have the prospection team that can bring more contracts with the same quality in the same time. Second, you have to have a governance of the process to make sure that those stores who are approved are really great stores. We have a committee that meets every Monday morning. We have the chairman of the company in the committee. We have Marcelo in the committee. We have 3-4 vice presidents, expansion director. So all the decisions are collegiate. All the stores we do based on internal rate of return expectation. We have a ton of geomarketing analysis before approving anything. And there is not a single store that we approve without having some of our senior team going on site to validate. We don't approve based on pictures. We don't approve based only on what the expansion managers have seen. We need to have a vice president, 1, 2, 3 vice presidents going there and validating the location. So we have probably better prospection. We certainly have way better analytics and a stronger governance in the process. And finally, we have to be comfortable that we have the internal process to open those stores without distracting too much the organization and the people to operate those stores. In the end, 15 stores more this year boils down to forming 15 more managers and 30 more assistant managers. If we go north of that, it's further X managers per year and 2X assistant managers per year. So we have been preparing ourselves. We have earned the right to grow by working for the last 2 years for that to happen. What we're seeing now, it's not a decision we made on the quarter or a decision we made on January. It's a consequence of a process of reinforcing the fundamentals that we started 2 years ago.
And just on the store closings, what's the aging profile of those stores? Are they like recently opened ones that did not perform or like older ones that just stopped working? Thank you.
On the closed stores, I would say there are a couple recent ones that, let's say, depending on what stores you're looking at, how many. Let's say we talk about the stores we closed over the last 3 years, for example. There are a couple ones who are recent expansion mistakes. There are several stores who we have moved to a better location. They were not necessarily bad stores, they were good, okay stores, but we moved to a better location, so we improved the stores. There was one store that we sold. This is a pretty good example of how we think about returns. We had a store in São Paulo, positive, not amazing store, but positive profitability. We were offered a certain cash consideration for the location, which in this case, the real estate belonged to the company, and we decided to sell because what we were offered, the store doesn't remunerate. So we are better off by closing the stores and foregoing the store's profitability, but getting the cash that was paid to sell. It's just one example, but I think it illustrates how we think and how disciplined we are in terms of returns.
And the error is part of the business also, and the important here is how to learn about the mistakes. This is the point. We have a follow-up with the stores, the sales result. Every 6 months we sit together and reevaluate everything to try to check the errors and learn with the errors, with the mistakes, okay?
Yeah, every semester we're there, we're revising. For us, closing a store is not a taboo. And closing stores is as much a money-making opportunity as it is opening stores at times.
It's a learning process also.
All right. Thank you, Eugenio Marcida.
Thanks, Joseph.
Thank you.
As a reminder, as to ask a question, please press star 1. It appears to be no further questions. Now, I'll turn the conference back to the company for their final remarks.
Well, thank you all for attending the conference call. Thank you all for your support as shareholders through the good times, through the bad times, and also the good times again. As we mentioned, this is another strong quarter. But it's a quarter in which we compared versus a very high comp base. So the margin expansion, the numbers should be good, but the margin expansion should be slower from now on. So I think this quarter is very typical of what we expect to see coming forward. So this is the our expected new life, I would say. Top line has been great. We have a tremendous expansion program, tremendous quality, tremendous returns. And we're also gaining share based on a great execution on our existing stores. We are seeing pressures from the pre-operational side. We're seeing labor pressures. I think we talked a lot about that. But we believe you can mitigate that and manage that effectively. Gaining productivity is crucial. Marcelo, I think, illustrated well. We have many, many initiatives in which the corporation is doing things to help the store operate better. So a store with a higher data line bandwidth, it's a store that has less IT problems, less, or it can process the transactions faster. We're working on our staffing algorithm, so maybe it can be more effective in terms of people deployment at the store. So there are many, many examples of things we're doing. The platforms are evolving. The HR process has improved a lot. So when an employee leaves, we replenish in a much shorter time than before. So the life of the store is getting better. And as a result, we are helping the store gain productivity, either by having the same expenses via sales, or sometimes even allowing us maybe in the short to middle term to be able to operate with the same standard of quality, but slightly less people than we have now. I think gross margin and G&A will keep being part of our margin expansion story. And I think maybe the biggest highlight of the quarter is the fact that we are preparing an acceleration and a meaningful one for expansion. So we already moved from 130 to 145. We have a new bar. And our goal for 2016, we are still to release the guidance, but it should be north of that bar. So when you see what it means going forward, doesn't really matter what the short-term preparation expenses are. I mean, we can bear those expenses, even if it was at the expense of the margins, because we are expanding now to be a much bigger company with better results in the future. So we are very optimistic about how things are going. The crisis keeps helping us. Demand is still strong. And to finalize, I mean, we have a very strong growth horizon ahead of us. We have a 15-year growth horizon. This is not a 5-year growth story. The senior population in the last 15 years has increased from 10 million people to 16 million people. Over the next 15 years, it's going from 16 million people to 30 million people, more than 4% annual senior growth. So this will support, I think, 15 years of double-digit market growth, and we will be there exploiting the opportunity, opening new stores, gaining productivity in the existing stores, and transforming this company. So before turning off the lines, I'd like just to share our IR calendar for the near future. We are reporting the fourth quarter on February 18th and the full year. Hi, Lucas. Today, I would heavily advise you to try to make an effort and come south for our event. So it will be December 4th. It's a Friday. There's a very good conference in the 2-3 days before that. So you can put it all together if you so want. It will be in the morning in São Paulo at the Unique Hotel. And I mean, we'll give way more color on our expansion and several aspects of our execution. We will make all our executives available for Q&A, something that very often our investors ask us, but we cannot provide because we have to need people to focus on the business. But this is the opportunity where you have the whole team at your disposal to tackle on whatever subject you think it's relevant. And finally, the next conferences we are attending, November 17, the Citibank Conference in Sao Paulo, December 3rd, the Brazil Opportunities Conference, JP Morgan. As I mentioned, this is one day before our Hydro Brazil Day, so whoever is coming from the conference, try to stay one more day and go to our Investor Day. Then January 6 to 8, LATAM Conference of Morgan Stanley in Miami, and 11 to 14 of January, JP Morgan Healthcare Conference in San Francisco. So that's all. Thank you again for attending the conference, for your support. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Hydro Brazil's conference call is finished. Have a nice day.